have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. I am a winner. Look at your name and say, I speak the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Got victory. You gotta speak victory over your life.
Nothing can stop me. Yeah, nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I speak the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I speak the victory.
Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moment. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Creating a strong budget is critical to achieving your financial goals. While creating a budget does require a few hours of your time, I am certain that you will find that it is not a very difficult process. There is an old saying, begin with the end in mind. As you begin your budget, you first want to consider what your goals are. It may be that you want to pay off your debts or save for a down payment on a home. A vision toward what you hope to achieve will help strengthen your resolve to stay focused on the commitments that you are making in developing the budget. It will also likely challenge you to really evaluate spending trade-offs between some short-term desires versus your long-term goals. Once you have your goals, write them down. You may want to post them in different places around your home as a reminder of your vision and to help you to stay focused. Once your goals are determined, you are ready to develop the details of your budget. Calculate how much you make per month, including any money that you receive from investments. Once you know your monthly income, you should then determine your tithe. Don't shortchange God in your tithing. Regardless of the condition of your finances, God will bless your faithfulness in tithing. You will then want to make a list of all of your regular monthly expenses, including any money that you spend on fun things like eating out, entertainment, and hobbies, and any minimum payments that you have to make towards your debts. Test out the effectiveness of your budget by subtracting your tithe and monthly expenses from your earnings. This will show you how much you can expect to have left at the end of the month, assuming that your earnings and spending habits remain the same. If your budget comes out on the negative side, go back over each expense and look for places to make cuts and consider whether there are additional options to increase your earnings. If you have debts, your budget should already include the minimum payments that you have to make each month. Now you need to find the money to pay down those debts. Look at your numbers again and determine where you are willing to make sacrifices to get out of debt. Now it's time to budget money for your financial goals. Review the goals that you developed at the start of the process and then survey your budget once more to find the money that you need to reach those goals. If you have a lot of debt, you may need to skip this step for a while, and that's okay. Debt reduction should be priority one. Once you've created a budget that covers all of your monthly expenses and financial goals, it's time to put your budget to the test. Try to live within your budget and see how it feels. At the end of each month, look over your expenditures to see if they are matching up to your budget. If they aren't, determine if you need to work harder to stick to your spending plan, or if you need to rework your budget to reflect your actual spending. Your financial goals are within reach. You need only to develop and maintain a solid budget to achieve it. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? Here's this week's gospel news. Michael Dwayne McClure, Jr., often known as Pastor Mike Jr., born June 15, 1983, in Birmingham, Alabama. He is the founder and pastor of Rock City Church. He's also a gospel musician. Whether delivering contemporary R&B and hip-hop informed songs or preaching alongside a more traditional church choir, Pastor Mike Jr. brings a powerful voice to his electric contemporary gospel flair. His solo career began in 2019 with the album Live Free. It went to number one on the Billboard Top Gospel Albums chart. Singles Ministry Volume 1 in 2021 featuring the gospel hit I Got It. As a leader of the Rock City Church in Forestdale, Alabama, less than a year after its release, Pastor Mike led the list of winners at the Stellar Awards, taking home six, including Album of the Year and Artist of the Year. March is Women's History Month, And this year, for 2023, this year's theme is Celebrating Women Who Tell Our Stories. We couldn't talk about women storytellers without talking about author Toni Morrison. She's been celebrated in contemporary literature for her uncanny and haunting descriptions of the Black experience in America, particularly the Black female experience. She was born in 1931 and received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993. Toni Morrison's very first novel was called The Bluest Eye, published in 1970, is one of the most celebrated authors in the world. In addition to writing plays and children's books, her novels have earned her countless prestigious awards, including the Pulitzer Prize and the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. As the first African-American woman to win the Nobel Prize in Literature, Morrison's work has inspired a generation of writers to follow in her footsteps. She was born on February 18th in Lorain, Ohio, the second of four children. Morrison's birth name was Chloe Anthony Wofford. Although she grew up in a semi-integrated area, racial discrimination was a constant threat. When Morrison was 2 years old, the owners of her family's apartment building set their home on fire while they were inside because they were unable to afford the rent. Morrison turned her attention to her studies and became an avid reader. She was able to use her intellect on the debate team, her school's yearbook staff, and eventually as secretary for the head librarian at the Lorain Public Library. In 1949, Morrison decided to attend an historically Black institution for her college education. She moved to Washington, D.C. to attend Howard University. Morrison attended Cornell University to earn her Master of Arts in English. When she graduated in 1955, she began teaching English at Texas Southern University, but returned to Howard University as a professor. After teaching at Howard University for 7 years, Morrison moved to Syracuse, New York to become the editor for the textbook division of Random House Publishing. Within 2 years, she transferred to New York City and began to edit fiction for books by African-American authors. In 1987, Morrison released her novel called Beloved, based on a true story of an African-American enslaved woman. This book was a bestseller for 25 weeks and won countless awards, including the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. In 1993, Morrison became the first African-American woman to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. 3 years later, she also was chosen by the National Endowment for Humanities to give the Jefferson Lecture and was honored with a National Book Foundation Medal of Distinguished Contributions to American Letters. Our congratulations to Dr. Teresa Harrison of Gospel Heritage and Mr. Don Jackson of Central City Productions. They have recently announced their engagement. Our congratulations to them both. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, I Believe by Fred Jerkins. Number 9, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 8, The Better Benediction, P.J. Morton. 7, Call on the Name, Marcus Jordan. 6, New, Ty Tribbett. 5, Here Comes the Joy, Dietrich Haddon. 4, Impossible, Pastor Mike Jr. 3, Finished, Tamela Mann. 2, I Still Have You by Smokey Norful. And our new number 1 song comes from C.C. Winans, Goodness of God. Well, that's your top 10 songs, our moment in women's history, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion.
Hello.
Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Taylor. So very much for that wonderful, wonderful presentation you've given to us about you also, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you and also you. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. This is Open Mic with the Bishop, a show that tackles kingdom issues a show that tackles real events from a biblical perspective. Sister Kimmy Kim, I pray that you got my mic open. I didn't hear her open my mic as of yet, but I'm going to try to keep going. I pray that she'll get my mic open here. You know, I have to send her a message, open my mic. Bless you. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for being with us. We bless God for every one of you. I'm asking that you would share this podcast with your family, with your friends, with your associates, those with whom you have to do with. Jimenez, God bless you. Thank you for coming in. Brother Eddie Phillips, thank you for being here from Facebook Live. Listen, we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to have a minor discussion, but before I go any further, let me bring in the panelists for tonight with me and has been here for a little while now, and I so greatly appreciate her taking on the task and learning the nuances that go with radio. My sister from another mother, we happen to share the same birthday, by the way. I'm talking about Pastor Anna Henderson. Good evening to you, Pastor Henderson. How are you tonight?
Blessed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for he is good and his mercy endures forever. We say good evening. Hello, hola, to each one joining us on tonight. We thank God for this time of discussion, and I am so looking forward to the kingdom discussions that we discuss, amen, on this podcast, and we have another great one for you on tonight.
Amen, amen. Now, I'm going to check because I didn't invite too many tonight, but then sometimes we have people that pop in and pop up, and we have no idea as to who might be there. So let's find out. Do we have any others that might be here on this discussion with us tonight? If so, can you please state your name and where you're calling from? We desire to include you in this panel discussion if you desire to be included in the panel discussion. Is there anyone else? All right. Going once, going twice, going three times. All right. And as always, our producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, is here with us, and she is taking a moment or two to kind of work in the background. Those of you that are on social media right now, if you desire to come to the live podcast, 646-564-9842. That number again, 646-564-9842. In the meantime, I'm asking that you all would share this podcast with family and friends. Hit the share button. Let everybody know that Open Mic with the Bishop is on tonight. Well, Pastor Henderson, I said last week I was going to turn it into your hands. So you tell us where we need to go and what we need to do, and we will go from there. How does that sound? Come on and talk to me.
Amen. Amen. We have a great discussion tonight. Amen. We'd like to begin with a word of prayer, and then we are going to have our scripture reading. And our topic tonight, we're going to be talking about kingdom investments. Amen.
Kingdom.
What are they? How can we invest?
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Kingdom investments. Amen.
All
and so
right.
We're going to dive into that tonight. Amen. And I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to have you to open prayer, or we can do vice versa, and then I'm going to just jump in and let you jump in. And we're going to go forth on tonight. And perhaps our listeners may have some questions or have some comments. Amen. So we welcome your questions, your comments, and your feedback on tonight.
All right. Well, however you desire to do it, let's make it happen. How would you like to do it?
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then let's read our scripture.
All right. So, I guess you pray. I can do the scripture if you'd like.
Okay. All right, I do so. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for this gathering. We thank you for those that have joined us on the social media areas. Father God, we just give you praise, glory, and honor for being able to talk about your word, talk about, oh God, how we can be better investors, oh God, in our lives. Father, we just give you praise, oh God, for the opportunity, oh God. We thank you for this platform. We thank you, oh God, for those that have connected. We thank you for Bishop Richard on tonight. We just thank you And for Dr. Kimmy Kim and all those that join us, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together and share. And we pray that something is said tonight that will encourage the hearts of your people, amen, to come up higher with a better understanding of your kingdom principles. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You gave me our scriptures. You said Matthew 6:20-21. I'm going to start with 19 because to me, it makes sense. It says, and I am definitely reading from the Amplified Classic Version. Verse 19 of chapter 6 says, do not gather and heap up and store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and keep and store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God for the glorious people of God. Thanks be unto God. As you said, we're going to take a moment to discuss basically kingdom investments. And one thing, when I say kingdom investments, I want to help us understand. Now, many of you are very familiar with the stock market, okay? And when you think about the stock market, you don't have to ask how the stock market operates. Let's just be basic and let's just be simple with this. When you talk about the stock market, you have to understand that in order for you to make any level of investment, there has to be some level of sacrifice, finances, whether you have a portfolio, an IRA, a Roth, or whatever the case may be. Spiritually speaking, if you're going to make kingdom sacrifices, meaning into the kingdom of Almighty God, there are going to have to be some level of sacrifice. You're going to have to do some things, give up some things, and be prepared to work with less than what you ordinarily have in order to get whatever it is you are looking for. Now, I know scriptures that we read in your hearing today, you know, and of course it goes back to the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm not going to go too far back into that because when we start going too far back, we now put ourselves in a position where we could possibly miss out on some of the things that pertain to life, godliness, and holiness. One thing I will say, sis, leadership in and of itself, when you're about developing investment strategies, it begins with the right attitude. You have to have the right adjustments. And when I said I wasn't going to get too much into the what's going on previous to this, if you go back to chapter verse 1, Jesus, in his most famous the Sermon on the Mount, he focused basically on the heart of his listeners, and he targeted his disciples and his audience and proceeded to share some things, and he demonstrated that what true discipleship looked like, what it's going to take to make an investment into the kingdom of Almighty God, what type of development is going to be needed as you shape your perspective as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus challenged the normal human perspective. When we talk about things like spiritual poverty or success, sadness or mourning, meekness, gentleness, passion and hunger, mercy and compassion, purity and integrity, peacemaking and revenge, persecution and adversity, all these things work together because we have to recognize that in order for any level of investment or sacrifice, let me use that word, to come forward and to help us to better understand what it is that God is looking for out of each of us, we're going to have to go through some of these things. Now, we have to check our motives. We have to do the right things for the right reasons. Most of us do understand what that means, and although a lot of us really don't want to get into it, we have to learn how to do the right things for the right reasons. And when you look at this sixth chapter of Matthew, verses 1-8, it helps us to understand these things. I'm trying to cover this so we don't have to go back and hit it again. We have to pray God's agenda and our own. We find there, as we talked about last night in Bible study, about what we call the model prayer and how that works. And then we have to understand that when we look at verses 14 and 15 in this sixth chapter, you have to understand how relationships work. And relationships can either make you or they can break you. Now in verses 19 through 24, and we're going to kind of work in that area, we have to prioritize eternal things and not temporal things. And this is where we're going. We're talking about making things investments. See, a lot of times we put temporal things in front of eternal things. We got the cart in front of the horse as opposed to the horse in front of the cart. And we've got to realize that when the horse is in front and the horse is behind the cart, you're in a position where you're not going anywhere unless that horse has got a really strong face and wants to push that cart. I don't think no horse wants to push a cart. They'd rather pull a cart. Now, in talking about kingdom investments, my dear sister, what is it that comes up in your spirit?
When I think about it and making investments, I think about, as you said, sacrifice time. It's definitely sacrifice. And I think about investment. I think about giving up something or making a deposit into something and looking for a return from it. We use investments on an all-time basis, really every day, and we really never think about it, you know, because when we buy into something, we're looking for that return. You know, when we go, even when we sell something or when we go to get our hair done or when we go to do something, we're buying into something, looking for a return. No one ever just does or puts out money that they don't look for a return back on it. So they're looking for something. And, you know, so we're always investing in something. But we want to make sure, as you said, that we are investing our time, our money, and our effort in the right thing to be aligned with the kingdom principles of God. Because if we don't invest in the right thing, we don't get a right return back. And no one wants to invest in something where there's no return. Even in a relationship, when you're investing your time, you're looking for something in return. And so when we have that kingdom perspective, then we begin to align our investment with the kingdom desires, the kingdom work, because we're looking for a return from the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if Pastor Samuel Jimenez, if he's a pastor or if he's just a lay leader, it doesn't matter. He said this, and this is on Facebook Live. He said we must shape a kingdom perspective into our existence in Christ in order to invest appropriately. How much I agree with that, 1,000%. He says how to promote faith, hope, and love in Christ through divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Yes, and he's right on track, because all these are kingdom investments. In order for us to know how to properly prepare ourselves. Now, you and I talked about this earlier, so I'm going to throw this out there right here and right now, and then we'll come right back to the scriptures. We talked about a passage of scripture that we could find in the book, in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24. And that scripture simply says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, here is the investment principle here. First and foremost, that seed which has to decompose from what it once was into something that it shall become had to give itself up in order to bring forth something that was going to be beneficial to others. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think that when we invest and we give it to others, it is beneficial to others, you know, and that ought to be our desire and our hope, is that when we're investing, that the return that we're looking for is not only going to benefit ourselves, but benefit those that are around, those that we invest in, you know. Even in our lives, you know, we invest in our families. You know, I'm thinking about the scripture we were talking about at one point when the Lord told them to pass on their history, to pass on the word of God, to remind the descendants that were coming after them of what the Lord had done for them. When we pass on our legacy, I remember we talked one time about passing the baton. That's an investment. That's an investment in our heritage. That's an investment in the spiritual lives of the descendants that come after. So you're investing the word of God, you're investing your history, your experience, your relationship, your testimonies, and then because the next generation will benefit from the legacy and the history and the experience that we have gone through.
And see,
and
you're
sometimes
saying,
you don't.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I was hearing what you were saying. Sometimes we fail to make that investment. We fail to put back into what we have taken out, you know, and I mean, I'll say this too. This is everybody, and you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but just let me throw this in here, and I'm enjoying what you're saying. You know, we look at some of these athletes, basketball players, football players, baseball players, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Come from impoverished communities, places where they had nothing. You know, I mean, when you talk about baseball. Run Kings used to play stickball. You know, all they had was this little mop handle and this little tennis ball, and they used to get out there and somebody would pitch to them and they would slash the ball hundreds of yards and probably break somebody's window, you know, hit somebody's car, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is some of them realize where they came from and what it took to get where they are. Their humbleness takes them back to where they began to try to do something to better their community. But then on the other hand, there are those who put nothing back into their system. And I don't know if Bishop Jay Bland is still here. If you are, sir, 646-564-9842, please come to the actual phone line. I know you have a lot that you can contribute, you know. And Brother Eddie Billups is saying, we're always to look for a kingdom investment when we're doing kingdom work. And I do agree with him. The whole point and purpose of me bringing up that scripture and saying what I'm saying, sis, is simply this. We have to recognize this is a selfless effort that we're doing, not a selfish effort. We cannot be selfish in the things that we do. If we're not willing to give ourselves away for the kingdom of God, if we're not willing to make the sacrifice for the benefit of somebody else, let's look at this for a minute. Matthew 3:16. Oh my Lord. How about going back to John 3:16? I'm going to go to Matthew 3:16, but let's go to John. But God so loved the world that he gave begotten son. God made the first major investment into mankind that we know anything about. The fact that he allowed his only begotten son to suffer, to bleed, and to die, and to take on the form of man and put him in a position where he had to strip himself. He didn't strip himself, but he did not allow himself to use his supernatural power. He acted as a man because he understood that in order for us to be redeemed back to God the Father, it was going to take a sinless, perfect sacrifice of a man to put himself in a position to be able to give himself for the sake of man, and then put man in a position where he could be redeemed and brought back to God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. There is no greater investment that you are ever going to find in the history of mankind in the fact that God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but would have life everlasting. What do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree. It's like that seed you talked about earlier, about that seed, and first it go to the ground first and die, cannot bring forth. That was an investment put in the seed to bring forth a harvest.
Yes.
And I totally agree with that. And because we are his representatives, we ought to be reproducing as well. So we should be making an investment, amen, in souls, amen, so that we can reproduce the souls in the earth realm that will be born again, regenerated, and their seed continue to reproduce, because God's heart is about souls. He has invested in us, and he's looking for a return out of our lives.
Yes, he is.
And I was
thinking about
the talent. I was thinking about the ones who had given the talents and how the one who hid his talent, you know, he was thrown into a place where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because the Lord made an investment, and he came back, and there was no return on it.
And God doesn't make a deposit where in a place where there's no return. He's looking for us to have a return in our life. So we are kingdom's kids. So we should be investors in the things of the kingdom because that's who we are.
Well, you know, Paul, to the church at one particular point, for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about kingdom investments. I'm Bishop Ernest D. Richards, along with Pastor Anna Henderson, Associate Pastor of Jerusalem Temple in Indianapolis, Indiana. A lot of us, when we talk about kingdom investments, here's a scripture that comes up a lot, but when we look at it, we fail to really grasp the totality of what that scripture is saying. I'm talking about, I believe it's Luke 6:38, which simply says, "Give and it shall be given unto you."
Yes.
"Good men pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." We've got to understand when you give, giving is the essence of investment. It is a synonym to investment. Giving is allowing yourself to part with that which you could use for yourself for the sake of another. And when you look at what we're doing in the kingdom of Almighty God, we give our time, we give our talent, we give our treasure all the time, constantly, continuously. And see, I don't want us to get wrapped, tied, or tangled in the aspect that the only place we do this is in the local church. No, in our everyday living, there is a giving. Pastor Jimenez says, this sounds like our new creation in Christ, a renewed mind. We must decrease in order for him to increase our assignment. Let me finish reading this. It's got that C more. Boy, he got a long one on here. Increase our assignment. Now in Christ is a life that promotes. Okay. Oh, my goodness. My Lord. I'll get to them in a minute. They're calling me. You know, they never want to talk to me, Pastor Henderson, until I got something to do. Let me finish reading. So, our assignment now in Christ is a life that promotes God's glorious kingdom in Christ, to promote his will and good pleasure, the principles of his kingdom. So, you know, all right. Thank you so much, Pastor Jimenez. The problem here with us folks is that we know to do what God says to do. We know to be givers. We know to be investors in the kingdom. And see, I don't know why, and I've had this argument. It's not even an argument. It was a heavy discussion. So what I'm really going to do with this is just share it, and I'm not going to point out any churches. I'm not going to say any names. But when some folk turn around and say, "All the pastor wants is my money so he can go buy a brand new car," that is just not so. What the pastor is looking for is a group of people that will invest in a branch of ministry that's looking to feed the homeless, a ministry that's looking to visit the hospitals, a ministry that's looking to go into the prisons, a ministry that is looking to provide for a community and to be a sustenance in a community. I didn't say be a sucker for a community. I said be a sustenance for a community, providing something whereby you can come there. It's like a hospital. You know, spiritually sick show up and we share with them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We give them that quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged word, and we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to their spirit using us as the vessels. We put ourselves in a position where we can be a blessing. Now, at the same time, when we're talking finances, understand, beloved, amen ain't going to pay the lights. Thank you, Jesus won't keep the water bill from being shut up. Holy Ghost, help me, will not stop the gas from flowing. It takes finances. Paul said it personally in the, in the ninth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. If we have ministered unto you spiritual things, is it a difficult thing for you to minister unto us those material things? Come on, folks. I mean, when we get to the point and place where we think that the pastor has all the money and is buying cars and that's all he does, that is so stupid. That is a trick from the enemy trying to make people believe that every pastor you ever meet is a crook and a robber and a thief, and all they know how to do is steal, cheat, and lie. That's a die from the pit of hell. All pastors are not like that. I'm not saying there aren't some, but what I am saying is there's a majority that hold, that has integrity. There's a majority that has a standard. There's a majority that has morals. There's a majority that has scruples. There's a set of pastors out there that are living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're living as if it were the Lord who was in front of them, giving them instructions. And what they are doing when they minister and they invest with themselves, you fail to realize a lot of these pastors stay up late nights praying for you and fasting over you and seeking God's face, and you call them to go to the hospital. You call them because your children are in prison. You call them because you have no food to eat, and they're doing everything they can to try to be a blessing in the way that God. They're servant leaders that understand their assignment, and they're investing in the kingdom. And I don't know about some of them, but there are points in times when I'm investing in the kingdom and it looked like there's going to be no return, because we've had people come to us, get money from us, and I'm going to be careful what I say, and, you know, get everything that they need. And first chance they got, sis, they took off. They ran away. We haven't heard from them since. And I know it's something that hurts, but at the same time, because one person was that way, we cannot treat everybody that comes after them in that fashion. We have to still be steadfast, unmovable, continuously abounding in the work, in the work, in the work of the Lord. This becomes important because God is watching our every move. And the beautiful thing is God keeps a record of everything that we do. So for those who are out there putting on a show, I have a friend of mine who has a saying. He says, pitch a tent and it won't be long before the circus comes to town. For those of you that are running a circus and not a ministry, God's got a record. That's all I need to say. I don't need to land blast you. I don't need to bash you. I don't need to tear you down. You already know what you're doing. God already sees you. And so I'm going to leave it right there, what I just said. Sis, what do you got to add to that?
I think that's so great, and I think that when we invest in the kingdom of God, what we must realize is that it's not like investing in the earthly realm, because people invest all the time when they go to the boat and they go to the casino and they spend their money, you know, foolishly, and there's no return. And sometimes people take hundreds and thousands of dollars and they lose it playing in the casino and there's no return. But when you give in the kingdom of God, there will always be a return. I remember a scripture I was reading earlier, and it says, when you have a feast, you know, call the cripple, invite the lame, invite those at a disadvantage, because they don't have to give back to you, but your reward is going to be in the resurrection. God sees your seed. And when your seed or whatever you invest, whether it be your finances, your talent, or your gift, when it leaves the earth realm and you plant it in the kingdom of God, it's always going to be returned. And it doesn't just be your return in the natural realm, but then your seed leaves this earth realm and goes into a supernatural realm, the spiritual realm of heaven, and God rewards, amen, that faithful investor who have made the decision to invest in the things of God and the kingdom of God. There is a spiritual investment, a spiritual return. Well, the scripture says, if you read it, the return will be pressed down, shaken together, running over. And sometimes we only think about that in the terms of finances, but how would you like to have your joy overrunning? Well, how would you like to have your peace, you know, pressed down, shaken together, running over? How would you like favor to be in your life, pressed down, shaken together, running over? God's blessings supersede anything in the natural. He wants his people to have the abundance. He says, my good will, my good pleasure that you have a kingdom. So God wants to get us kingdom blessings. So that's why we want to invest in the kingdom things, because when we deposit, make a deposit in the kingdom, the return is much more greater than we have ever deposited. That's awesome.
And I agree with you, but you know something, there's something, and I want to ask a question, because, yes, we've got more millionaires and billionaires today than we have ever had in the history of the earth's existence. And I mean true-to-life millionaires, true-to-life billionaires. And I'm going to to go after these individuals, because it's not right and fair. Most of them accumulated their wealth properly. And it's up to them if they want to. But I have to ask this question, especially with verses 19 and 20. 19 says, don't gather up, heap up, and store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, and where thieves break through, but gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Here's a question, and I'm asking you and I'm asking the general public and anybody that wants to answer this. How can you tell if you have too much stuff? Think about this for a minute. Yeah, well, let me help you out with that. When you have too many material things, when you have too much stuff, you often hold on to it too tightly. You overemphasize the importance and the purposes in your lives. You tend to put yourself, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, Pastor Jimmy, just give me a minute. You often overemphasize your importance and purpose in life, and, you know, this a level of anxiety. I learned something not that long ago that an individual that is extremely wealthy spends an exorbitant amount of time guarding their money, trying to watch their money to make sure that their money is properly spent and sent to the proper places. A good way to find out if we have a healthy view of material possessions is to ask ourselves, are we actively seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, or are we wasting time worrying about losing and or increasing our stuff? Think about this. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. In other words, seek first that which glorifies our Father in heaven. Seek that which brings glory to Almighty God. Seek his kingdom. See, we fail to realize that in seeking God's kingdom, everything that we're looking for in life will be added to us. Everything we want in life will be given to us. You know, the remedy to our anxiety and acquisitiveness is to seek first God's kingdom, and the things that we desire will be given to us. So, you know, when we look at today, our culture and our time, we seem to see the spirit of greed running rampant everywhere around us. People are trying to get more. They're going after more so they can have more and they want more. And they're never satisfied and they're always longing and always wanting. Whatever happened to the days when we would be satisfied in the Lord our God, when we would be happy just to be in the presence of Almighty God? We've been blessed to be a blessing, and we have thrown the second part out. You know, we know that we're blessed to be a blessing, but we refuse to be the blessing that we were blessed to be, because now if you get $1 million and you try to give away $500,000, you're trying to figure out how to replace that $500,000. Did not God say he would supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Did not God tell us not to worry and not to be overly concerned about the material things of this world? And as we, I'm going to close it with this so I can hear from you. As we take care of our Father in heaven's business, our business gets taken care of. What do you have to add to that, sis?
I totally agree with that, and you know, we have to be careful, you know, with that and what you're saying, because there's a greedy spirit, there's a spirit of the enemy that's sneaking. The Bible says the love of money, you know, is the root of evil, not money itself. But when we begin to take from that spirit on you of money, when money begins to control your desires, begins to control your output, so no longer are you out and making deposits in the kingdom of God, or align yourself, as you said earlier, align yourself with the right desires, then what happens is you begin to harness those things in yourself. So the more you get, the more you want. And so you're not no longer making deposits. Now you're storing up. See, there's a problem when you stop giving, you know, because then you got to look inwardly. Because now you're thinking about me, myself, and mine. I got to keep this for this. I got to hold on to this. I got to hold on for a rainy day. I better keep this for this. I got to keep this. And you're not outputting. You're not putting anything out, so that state of greed gets on you.
And then now you're no longer an asset to the kingdom of God. Now you're hiding your talent like the one who hid his talent. And now you're hiding, storing up all of these things for a rainy day, as some call it. But now you're no asset to the kingdom of God because he blessed, we are blessed to be a blessing. So
Amen.
When you keep on investing, then your flow will stay flowing.
Uh-huh.
But when you stop giving and stop investing in the kingdom of God, your flow gets stopped. It's like a clogged up toilet or clogged up sink. Your flow, you stop your flow because we were meant
uh-huh.
to be givers. We were meant to invest. And so, we got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm.
I what you say, you are right on track. We, you know, what we have or don't have should never define who we are. And furthermore, we should be looking for creative ways to share what we have with other people, especially those who do not have the ability to pay us back monetarily or in material ways. Have we ever stopped to wonder why God has entrusted us with the stuff that we have in the first place? It's not because we deserve it. It's not because that we're better than somebody else. Really, the answer can be found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 3. And you already said it. We have been blessed to be a blessing. This is what God said to Abraham. Pastor Jimenez said this. It's incredible. We as society don't put a limit on the return of the entertainment industry, but then the world wants to put a limit on our deposit and return in Christ. And I agree with them 100%. Funny that the devil wants to hold the Christian, the believer, down to a certain amount. You know, you're supposed to be poor. You're supposed to be beggarly. You ain't supposed to have nothing. Huh? I'm so glad you think so. If my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's my father, and my father is not Satan, he is not the devil, he is Elohim, he is El Shaddai, he's the all-breasty one, he is the loving, he is the mighty, the wonderful, the Prince of Peace. If my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hill, who says that I'm not an heir or a joint heir with Christ Jesus about these things? Who says I cannot have these things? God doesn't want these things having me. God does not want me in these things. I should never lose sight of the fact that I've been called to use what God has given me to serve other people. I have to acknowledge the reality that sometimes those with the least tend to give the most freely and giving literally the shirt off their back and relate. Given from their heart, and that is the sacrificial giving that the Apostle Paul praised in 2 Corinthians verses 8 and 9. We have to recognize that the issue is not simply how much how much we have or don't have. The issue is what do we do with what we have? How are we using it? People don't realize we got to give an account to Almighty God for the deeds done in this body. We read these scriptures time and time again. We got to realize that God is holding, we're stewards. God is holding us accountable because he gave us X amount to work with and told us to go out and to multiply. You mentioned the talents, the single talents, the 3 talents, and the 5 talents. The one with 5 talents made 10. The one with 3 made 3 more, which gave him 6. But the one that had the one put that one in the ground. In other words, he hid it so nobody could get to it. And when the master returned, there's a parable there, beloved. The parable is the returning of the Lord. God is going to come back to see what kind of return does he have on his investment. Now, Brother Eddie Phillips said the desire for a return shouldn't be the heart of the investment. My goodness, that's a word all by itself. The desire for a return should not be the heart of the investment. Love should be the heart of the investment. Concern for other people should be the heart of the investment. I'm going to give you a chance because I'm about ready to preach right about now, sis. So let me calm my load.
That's so good. That's so good, because when you read that, I thought about, you know, not only is it money, but when we give our time to that one who maybe didn't have a mentor, maybe they didn't have a teacher that to teach them, maybe they didn't have a parent that can bring them up in the right way, and when we take them under our wing, when we speak to them and give them encouraging words, and we help be their role model and help to teach them strategies on how to live life, we're making an investment in that young person. You know, we're making an investment in that person who doesn't have those skills. And so those are all investments, and that's done out of love. That's love.
Amen.
You know? And yeah.
Go ahead. Complete it, because I'm going to throw something else
And that's so good. And when we're able to adopt, some people adopt children who really need, when you adopt a child in who doesn't have the proper care, and you take them in and you treat them as your own, and you foster them and raise them up, and, you know, that's love. When you adopt a missionary, a person who's been in the foreign fields, you know, when we go out and you find that those who you know, a lot of those in the foreign areas, they need good parents. They need good people. And sometimes people make adoption of those children and those foreign parents. And that's an investment. That's an investment of love. That's an investment with God in the heart to reach out to somebody who needs somebody in their life to help raise them up and give them a good life and give them the word of God and raise them up in the kingdom. That's an investment.
So I asked a question just a little bit earlier, and I said, how can you tell if you have too much stuff? Well, let's answer that as we bring this down to a close. You can tell you have too much stuff when anxiety or greed, which literally, if you read the scripture in Colossians, the third chapter and the fifth verse, keeps us from sharing with others. When we find ourselves find our contentment in what we buy and own rather than whom we love. When we find our identity in what we possess rather than the relationships that we ought to be developing with God and with others. Now, Matthew 6:33 becomes so prevalent right here when it says, seek first his kingdom and its righteousness. Everything else all in line. How do we know when we have too much? If you find yourself thinking more about yourself than anybody else, when you find yourself trying to keep for yourself, excuse me, when you find yourself trying to hide it from those whom you love or say you love, and you have no real desire to share it, there is a problem. How do you know when you have too much stuff? We're still talking about kingdom investments. When you're unwilling to give it away, when you're unwilling to share it with somebody else, how do you know when you have too much stuff? When you're hoarding everything, and anybody that asks you for anything, anybody that, you know, and these are people that have legitimate needs, they come to you, say, I need such and such and so, is it possible? Some of them turn around and say, can I borrow, and I'll give it back to you next week. Well, here is the big problem with that. When you know you got too much, because see, you got people that got these fine cars and these big houses and all this land, and they're not willing to do anything to be a blessing to somebody else. Even if you allow a homeless person to pitch a tent on your property, come on here now. Do something that's going to in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, I do recognize a lot of us, we have a minor level of fear because people are so unpredictable today. People do such dastardly things, and people that just do such ugly things in this day and age. You want to let yourself out there, but at the same time, you're not willing to put yourself out there to the point where you put yourself in harm's way. And I do understand that. But there is a way that you can do things. There's a way you can minister and be effective. All I get you to understand is the principle in the Gospel of John chapter 12, and I believe verse 24, when it says, except that corn of wheat fall into the ground. I'm trying to make somebody understand. Be willing to give yourself away. Fall into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Be buried with him. And then resurrect. You want to come to know him, and the fellowship of your sufferings. Let me read this right. It's in Ephesians, I believe, 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable to his death. All that has to do with investment. Because if you get this, you're going to understand the power of his resurrection. Your flesh is not rising. Your spirit is rising. The fellowship of his sufferings, he lacked, he hurt. He did what he needed to do for the betterment of other people. And if we're willing to do the very same thing, God is willing to bless us with whatever it is we may have need of. Sis, I'm going to stop right there. And let me let you get your final comment in before we move forward.
Oh, that was so good. That's so good. I just want to say, when you invest in the kingdom of God, there's the return on your investment. It's beyond what you have given. And when you closed out and you said, when we give ourselves to the Lord and sow our life as a seed, amen, that, my God, you're talking about being blessed. You're talking about being a blessing to the kingdom of God. Wow, the return is so great. And I just want to encourage us as believers is to sow into the kingdom of God and watch God do the supernatural in our lives.
Amen. Now, I'm seeing some of my former people from our Periscope church family. Sister Gwen, God bless you. I wish you'd come in a little earlier. We're about to end this. So good to see you, Brother Eddie Billis. We're going to pray for you before we leave the airways. Pastor Jimenez, thank you for coming in. Sister Felicia Dozier and J.D. Bland, thank you so much for coming in. There's so many of you that came in, and those of you on TikTok, you're too many for me to try to name everybody. Thank you for those who have been here the whole time. God bless you. And for those who could stay just a hot minute, well, we appreciate the fact that you even came in. So let's pray for Brother Eddie Jimenez. He has a shoulder issue. He was in the hospital. I don't know if he still is in the hospital. Pastor, don't go too far. We're going to pray for you, too. So, Pastor Henderson, if you don't mind, for Brother Eddie Phillips, his shoulder injury, and for his healing, for Pastor Jimenez, that God would open the door. And we got our dear sister Jackie, who's just come in on our other page. God bless you. So happy to see you. Just pray for those who are on social media, whatever God lays in your heart. And we're going to close from there. Go ahead, sis.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight for this podcast. We thank you, Lord, for this platform. We thank you, oh God, for what our ears have heard. We thank you, Lord, for those that have connected on tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness, Father God, as they have connected, oh God, as they have, oh God, received this word on tonight, Father God. Lord, I'm asking that you remember tonight their concerns and the things that they have put before you tonight, Father God. Lord, we agree with them for healing in their body. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to go. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak healing, for you sent your word and you healed. We agree with the word right now that word is working in their body to bring healing and wholeness in the mighty name of Jesus, according to their faith being unto them now. In the name of Jesus, we cancel every plan, plot, scheme of the enemy against the people of God tonight.
Amen.
We declare the doors will open in their favor in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance and every distraction, we command it to cease in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each one that tuned in tonight. Bless their families, bless their homes, bless their workday on tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've already wrought in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember their sacrifice in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for the return, oh God, for those that have invested and chose to invest in the kingdom of God. We thank you for, hallelujah, for them reaping a harvest, oh God, above and beyond their deposit. And so, God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for testimonies of increase, supernatural favors, supernatural, hallelujah, finances coming forth in ministries in Jesus' name. Thank you for favoring your people tonight. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Special thank you, Stephanie Morier. I didn't realize you were still in here. God bless you, my dear sister. That's from our sister church, Basilea Outreach Ministries, up there in the great city of Hamden, Connecticut, over there on Dixell Avenue. Such an awesome, awesome, awesome ministry. Their pastor, Dr. Walter Teague, was down here this past Sunday, and he just lit the place up. He just flat out torched the place. Let's just say it like it is. The brother went out of his element. I promise you, he went out of his element and taught a word. He said, it's yours. Now go get it. Yes. And I'm going to come behind him and say, let's do this together. So we do want you to join us at Power to Stand Outreach Ministries. Bless you, Sister Marlene Rose. That's another dear friend of mine. Haven't seen her in a dog's age. So happy to see you here on social media. I'm looking for many of you to come join us, Power to Stand Outreach Ministries, this coming Sunday, 12 noon. Whether you do TikTok, whether you do Facebook Live, whether you do YouTube, or you come to our live service, we're looking for the Lord to take us to the next round and to the next level, to minister to us, to take us deeper. Our theme for this year is I'm taking back what the devil stole. And I don't know who you are on this line, who you are in this feed, who you are listening to this podcast. If the devil has stolen something from you, it's time to take it back. The thief has no business having his hands on your stuff. The thief has no business coming and robbing you of anything whatsoever. It's time for you to get some Holy Ghost boldness and go into the enemy's camp and take back what the devil stole from you. Now, some of you are wondering, how can you be a blessing to this ministry? And we do have information coming. I've been asked by way of inbox. My Cash App is always $EER719. That's $EER719. We're looking to be a blessing to Elations Radio, because Dr. Kimmy Robinson does an awesome job keeping Elations Radio on the airwaves each and every week. And once a year, we do Elations Honor. It's a celebration of those whom we've come to know in various communities and different areas and facets of ministry. So we're looking for you to, as you bless us, we want to bless Elations Radio and Dr. Kimmy Robinson. And we're looking for God to do an awesome thing this year. I don't know exactly what the plan is just yet, but I'm very sure I'm going to know. I need you to also pray for me, because I'm going away to the Joint College of African American Bishops starting next week, next Monday. I'll be there from Tuesday to Friday, and then I'm understanding it might snow in Cleveland, Ohio on that Friday, so I may have to exit a little early just to avoid the snow. But then 7 days after that, I'm leaving on the 27th of March for about 13 days to go to Haiti. I got to go check on my babies. There's some work that needs to get done down there. So anything that you desire to share and to bless us with, it would be greatly appreciated. I try not to ask the church to do too much, because that can get to be quite expensive if the church puts the bill alone. But I will say this. Bless you, Elder Evangelist Marlene Rose. excuse me. You can tell I've been talking most of the day. I've been in different meetings all day long. But nonetheless, we're looking forward to seeing you guys back here next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to continue our discussion on kingdom investments. Now, I'm going to subtopic for today, give you something to think about all week. Those of you that were on Facebook Live, again, if you want to join us, 646-564-9842. We're going to look for you to join us on next week on our podcast. And here's the question that I want to get answered. What does it mean to invest? And let's answer that question. What does it mean from your perspective? What is it that you're doing that you would say you're making an investment into the kingdom of Almighty God? Now, I want to help you understand this so you know where to look, because the Bible talks about various gifts within the body of Christ. And when you invest using the gift that God has given you, now you're doing ministry. I'm going to leave it right there and give you something to think about. The Lord bless you. Lord keep you. Yes.
Will you give that number a little slower for those that might want to write that number down to join us next week?
Okay, that number is 646-564-9842. One more time, 646-564-9842. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You do not have to be a pastor to come on this show. That's why it says open mic with the bishop and company. You can be a lay, you can be in laity, you can be a lay leader. You can be, you know, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be an evangelist, a prophet, or a teacher. You can be a regular Joe. If you desire to come on, as long as you come on and you're respectful of those who are on the panel, as well as whatever it is that God is doing, as long as you're being respectful, we want you to come on. Now, social media, I don't want you to go anywhere. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I'm getting ready to try to shut this thing down because I'm going to take a minute and think, and maybe I should just take a moment. What do you think, Pastor Henderson? Should I take a moment and share a quick word with the body? No, we can share a quick word with the body of Christ another time because what we shared today was just so good. There ain't no sense in us going back. You know how some people try to redecorate the furniture? We don't need to redecorate. What we need to do is just keep forward. So we're not going to throw anything else in there, but after we sign off here from this radio podcast, I'll give a quick five-minute word, and then we are going to move on. The Lord bless you. Dr. Kim, get it ready. The Lord bless you. The Lord come in and just manifest himself to you. Make himself known to you. Express his power, his joy, and his love over you. Until next Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., along with Associate Pastor Anna Henderson, saying you have a great night. Dr. Kimmy, if you would be so kind, please let that outro play at this present time. God bless you all. Social media, stay right where you are. Facebook Live as well as TikTok. I'm going to come right back to you. Go ahead, Dr. Kimmy. Let's face it.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.